now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today I'm going to talk about a number of subjects, mostly having to do with how the human race, the latest version of it, just how did it get to its current docile bovine state? And I believe a lot of it has to do with what Barbie Bartholuk referred to as the, quote, breeding out the love program, unquote. And I'm going to talk about that because it runs along a spectrum. And the malign effects of the breeding out the love program can be oh so subtle on the one hand, and can be in your face, in your grill, mouth foaming, raging, just rage, vitriol, and all points in between. We have the ultimate power. We have the ultimate power of the love. The love that we have for, first and foremost, ourselves. We can't really love anyone else or anything else if we don't have, not in a narcissistic, self-indulgent way, self-love, egotistical love, but I mean working past through all the shame-based programming and manipulation, trauma from, in some cases, multiple lifetimes, designed to chip away at our self-worth and our self-image. Once we work through that and truly become comfortable in our own skin, love ourselves and love how we express ourselves and what we bring to the table, and then you combine that with our love for others, our love for certain cherished values and traditions. I like to remind people about, go back to a time, a place, in your mind, in your heart, and we're remembering through our heart center. It's important, because what they do is they strive to shut down our heart center. I'll go into more details about that process and how it's replaced by headspace, narcissism, ego, all that stuff, which is the happy hunting ground for all these entities. Go back to a time in your mind when you were just having a joyous time with friends, with family, get-togethers, partying, whether it was concerts, baseball games, football games, whatever, sporting, athletic competition, something that gave you joy, something that gave you contentment, something that gave you inner peace and serenity, uplifted you. Whether it was a solitary pursuit or it was something you did with, you know, one or more people, a joint team effort. And just think about those times, whatever the memory or memories may be, of how much joy and fulfillment and contentment it gave you, how good it made you feel, how you can always go back and do a rewind if you wanted to think back. And sometimes it helps looking through photos, photo album. Nowadays, increasingly, we have video, the digital age being what it is. We can go back and we can have a jaunt down memory lane and really, really plug into these feel-good moments in our past. Now, there's that corny song, which I never really liked back when I was younger, but makes a lot more sense to me now. Being an old-school rocker the way I am, it was, you know, kind of a stretch for me to even like the song in the modern times, but there was that big Beastie Boys song back in the day. You have to fight for the right to party. And now, I don't know what they meant by that song or what their philosophical outlook as far as the lyrics of that song were concerned, but the way I interpret it is, all those good times you had in the past, all those triumphs, the love you felt for yourself and for others, the cherished moments, and the ability to go back and plug in and relive those moments and relive that feeling. Those are feelings that are worth fighting for. Those are feelings worth battling for and striving for. And I've told this story before, and you know, before I finish this particular commentary, I'll bring it back up again, because it was an object lesson to me of just how much power each one of us has residing within our heart center. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I've told the story many times in the past about how my little tour guide showed me and gave me an object lesson. And the little tour guide, if you're not familiar with the story, was this small entity that often accompanied me in the astral dreamscape when I was young. High school, freshman, sophomore year, that would be in Australian, UK terms, year 9, year 10. He really started showing up in my dreams, and he would come around and he would show me things, he would tell me things, and he was always by my side, and I was always only able to see him in the periphery of my vision. I always knew he was there. He was a small, diminutive fellow. He would just share knowledge and information with me, take me to places in the astral dreamscape and show me things, right? Like I said, I never got a good, clear look at him. He was always by my side in the periphery of my vision, and he was a very short being, 2-3 feet tall. Anyway, in one astral dreamscape experience, we were in a place that resembled the backyard of my parents' house in San Jose, California, where I lived when I was a boy. We'd moved from Daly City, California, next to San Francisco, moved 50 miles south to San Jose, and I lived in San Jose for a while after that, until I moved out on my own. And the little tour guide took me into my backyard at that house, and there was a bunch of kids. They were all clustered in a big mass, and they had their arms outstretched, and they were swaying, their arms were swaying to the left and to the right in unison. And they were doing this kind of oh, oh, oh kind of chant kind of tone, right? And silly me, I asked the little tour guide, my little tour guide, like, what are they doing, right? And why are they in my backyard? So for the first, only, and last time I ever saw him, my little tour guide came out, stepped out from where he was standing by my side, where he usually was, stood directly in front of me, looking up at me. And, I mean, this guy was short. I mean, I was a short guy, but still kind of short. But he came up to, like, around a little above my navel, okay? So he stands directly before me, looks up at me, grabs both my wrists, and presses the palms of my hands together in an attitude of prayer directly in front of my heart center, at which point my heart center, for lack of a better term, just exploded in just this boundless energy burst of, it was like ecstasy, nirvana. There's no way I could describe it, just how it made me feel, right? Just this burst of pink, and a lot of pink, and pink light, pink energy just burst forth. Think of like the color of a rose quartz, for example, just bursting from my heart center. I didn't even think in terms of heart centers back then, okay? That came much later. I had no idea. I didn't know what chakras were until much later. Decades down the track, really. Little tour guide pressed my hands together in an attitude of prayer in front of my heart center. My heart center exploded in this nirvana kind of ecstatic kind of feeling. And I was just awash in these bright lights of pink and amber and And I just found myself jettisoned, catapulted into the air. And then, you know, I don't need to go into any more detail, but that was the last time I ever saw the little tour guide. And in hindsight, he made his point in a way that, I mean, it was an exclamation point. This is like your last lesson, grasshopper, right? This is the last thing I need to show you. And what he showed me was the power that we, each one of us has, that resides within our heart center. No matter how shame-based we are, no matter how traumatized we are, it may seem infinitesimal, the amount of power we have within our heart center. And, you know, the strenuous efforts the archontic forces, demiurgic forces, go to make us feel shame-based, to traumatize us, to metaphorically and energetically create like a hard shell around our heart center. And the purpose behind that is to get us into our head space, where we're much more easily manipulated through strong emotion, through a neuro-linguistic programming. Just think of all the cultural Marxist indoctrination going on today. Get us out of our heart center, get us into our head space, where we're just subject to this never-ending barrage of propaganda, disinformation, cultural Marxist Luciferian programming. And it becomes a happy grounding ground for all these negative entities, right? And the little tour guide showed me then just how powerful this force is that resides within each one of us. So keep that point in mind when I talk about the breeding out the love program, because with an intact, functioning heart center, we have the means to instantaneously detect any form of bullshit. I mean, nothing gets past us. I guess I was fortunate, like I've told this story in the past, but it didn't seem like a good thing at the time. But growing up, I was surrounded by narcissists, pathological liars, kleptomaniacs in my own family and extended family. So after a while, I didn't even listen to their lies anymore. I didn't even observe them going through the motions of trying to set me up for some kind of stunt, some kind of psyop, some kind of rip-off deal they were trying to pull on me, right? Because, I was surrounded by narcissists, pathological liars, and kleptomaniacs. And after a while, you don't even listen to them anymore, because, like, well, what are they going to lie to me about now and why, right? So I just consciously tune them out. But at the same time, my heart center, still fully functional at the time, despite whatever unhealed trauma and shame that I had yet to work through, it was like still working, still humming in the background, although I didn't recognize it as such at the time. I didn't realize that I had this heart center lie detector working within me. I just went by vibes. Unconsciously. So when, you know, my pathologically lying relative would be flapping his or her gums in front of me, I just knew at a conscious level, well, they're lying about something, and they're trying to manipulate me, trying to do something at my expense. But there's a vibe that goes along with that. It's a bad analogy, okay, because it's got nothing to do with inorganic, artificial AI or anything like that, but a term you hear frequently these days is machine learning in AI context. But if one learns to trust their heart center, it teaches itself. It learns at a geometric progression. It learns very fast, right? So I don't even have to hear the complete lie anymore from an audible perspective, being told something verbally. Right? I mean, the face that's telling the lie, it could be a big smile, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, the whole bit. But the vibe that the liar is giving off is easily detected by my heart center. I feel something discordant in my heart center. And also, if one has an intact solar plexus, the metaphysical mind, if you will, the metaphysical brain center, with an intact and fully functional, or for the most part, highly functional heart center, and with a connection to the solar plexus, the metaphysical mind, brain power part of our energy field, combined with the two. You often hear of people talking about their gut feeling, their gut instinct, or something didn't feel right in my heart. You know, we hear people give verbal expression, try to articulate this feeling. After a while, you don't even have to hear the lie in its entirety, in whatever form, from a news presenter, from a pathologically lying friend or relative, whatever the case may be. You just instantaneously, because of this form of non-linear geometric progression learning, you just instantly recognize, okay, this is bullshit. Whatever he or she or they or the TV people are telling me is complete nonsense, and there's an agenda behind it. And what they've strived to do is to get us out of that trust in our heart center, which is our natural built-in lie detector. Get us so full of rage, so full of unhealed, like shame-based trauma. Get us out of our heart space, quote-unquote, learn to not trust it, to not trust our own instincts, to not trust our own intuition, to not trust the vibe that we're picking up and how our energetic body, our heart center, interprets it. Move away from that, get into our headspace, which again is the happy hunting ground for all these entities, right? Where they can start pecking away at you with their OCD thought loops and intrusive thoughts and, you know, bad suggestion thoughts and promoting bad habits and bad idea type thoughts, right? And notice how the whole entertainment world, Hollywood, the news presenters, etc., everything, they try to force feed their version of all this disgusting nonsense in our face. Literally shove it down our throats. We get to a point, they want us to get to a point where we no longer have the natural innate ability to detect all that as BS and just go along with it, get into our headspace, and then take it all on board. I mentioned to Judith Kwoba in a recent interview she did on the podcast, and I mentioned to her that I knew people that were so freaked out about the so-called Delta variant, right? And they'd already had the Pfizer, the double whammy from the Pfizer, but they're considering getting the single shot J&J on top of that, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, the clock's already ticking on these people, right? They're not going to be around much longer. They're not going to reach their 80s or something, in their 70s. The clock is ticking on them. But they get the J&J on top of that, and then on top of that, get, if they're still around long enough, to get the seasonal boosters. I mean, they're toast. They're history. Stick a fork in them, they're done. And the latest communication I got from them is they're so freaked out because they know the U.S. Olympic team was waxed prior to going to Tokyo, but they're still coming down with the dreaded plague, right? They're still coming down with it. And then this person was writing this lamentation to me. Oh, even when we take the wax, even when we social distance, people are still catching it. It's like, what are we going to do? And this is the person that told me they're thinking about getting the J&J single shot on top of the double whammy Pfizer they've already had because of their fear of the Delta. And now they're freaking out because the contradictory messages they're getting. You need the wax in order for life to go back to normal. Oh, the wax doesn't really work. You can still catch it with the wax. You can still be contagious and pass it on to others. The unwax can make you sick even though you've had the wax. So there's just this constant barrage of contradictory archontic, demiurgic disinformation. And because they're in their happy, the happy hunting ground of their headspace, instead of working from an embodied standpoint with a fully functional heart center, which should detect all of that instantaneously as complete and utter bullshit, they've been in their headspace for decades now. They're freaking out. And they don't even recognize the lies and the contradictions that they're constantly being fed, force-fed. They literally don't have the ability to stop and critically analyze and, wait a minute, they told me one thing, now they're contradicting themselves. In fact, they've contradicted themselves a few times. They can't do that. They don't have that level, that very basic level of critical analysis, of self-reflection, because they're in their head space, right? So I just wanted to lay that groundwork as far as the breeding out the love program that Barbie Bartholuk talked about, because it is so critically important to understand just why so many people are clueless. I've already stated, and I am satisfied that the human race as we understand it, as we perceive it, is not just a slave race, it's a livestock race. The real hybridization program was this long-standing process of turning the human race into a domesticated livestock, a cattle. Please forgive me, the asthma's been acting up again. It's been unusually cold here in Australia for some time now. So if one looks at the human race as a domesticated livestock species, which lacks the neural circuitry and lacks the functioning heart center, may have started out, I mean, most members may have started out with a functioning heart center, but the layers and layers and layers of trauma, grief, shame, archontic manipulation, toxins in the environment, toxins in the food, etc., right, has effectively cut them off from their connection to source. And they've been shunted into this headspace. We're talking about a species which lacks self-awareness, self-reflection, which lacks the ability to critically analyze and critically assess what is going on based on the external stimuli that they're receiving, and the ability to sort out the wheat from the chaff, the ability to filter out the nonsense, the BS, etc. Barbie Bartholuk was always fond of saying, these people, meaning the public, they simply don't have the neurology to understand any of this. They lack the neural circuitry. She also was fond of saying that the aliens know us molecule by molecule, right? And we're seeing that in spades nowadays with what they're doing with the molecules and the waxes, right? The graphene oxide and the spikes and all that kind of thing. It's come full circle now, where that technology on the surface has progressed with a lot of archontic influence and guidance to the point where they can do this en masse. Time to call the herd. So on one end of the spectrum, you have people cut off from the heart center, unable to differentiate between truth and lies. And then the other far end of the spectrum, you have the foaming at the mouth, rage-filled emotional responses. And that's what the communist, Marxist, Luciferian indoctrination is all about. Just shunting these people into the victim aggressor mentality. To be sure, many of them will have had a fair sprinkling, perhaps even overabundance of reptilian Draco DNA to begin with. But at this point, I would think that even if someone did not have an overabundance of reptilian DNA, if the template is such that they're lacking in empathy, they're lacking in self-reflection, they're lacking in self-awareness, lacking in the ability to plug in via the heart center to higher sources of information, it would be relatively easy to shunt perhaps even a formerly passive person into the rage-filled, mouth-foaming SJW mode. A key aspect of the hybridization process was precisely for the reptilian gray mantis geneticist to churn out generation after generation of these rage-filled children, soon to become rage-filled adolescents and then rage-filled adults. And this happens during the genetic hybridization process, and then intermittently over time, in a linear time sense, these people, many of them, are re-abducted by the aliens, put through psychological programs designed to engender rage, anger, fear, instill trauma. In various ways they do this, being made to see scenes of nuclear devastation over and over and over again, being put through what I call the unloved scenarios, where you're in these astral dreamscape, virtual reality type scenarios, and everyone that you come across, even apparent relatives and friends, they want nothing to do with you. They literally turn their back on you. And then the feelings through endocrine, through hormone glandular manipulation, the feelings of shame, of guilt, of feeling unloved are accentuated within the context of the astral dreamscape virtual reality manipulation. So, you know, whether they've been shown in these experiences nuclear devastation or they've gone through the unloved dreams, they wake up feeling very poorly about themselves, sometimes even crying, right? And that's just one example of one type of emotion which is engendered. Other types are the rage responses that they're trying to engender and instill within people. The genetic hybridization that creates entire generations of children lacking in a fully developed frontal lobe, so they lack the impulse control. You add on to that the huge tsunami wave long before this whole COVID psyop pandemic, the whole tsunami wave of autistic children who become autistic adolescents, autistic teens, autistic young adults, autistic adults, because now we're generations into that. These really damaged people. And of course, we talked earlier about a spectrum, okay? I'm not talking about the type of autism where someone is just nonverbal and just, and I don't mean by saying just to minimalize or marginalize the heartache and the hardship and the trials that the families and the autistic individuals have to endure. I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to marginalize that. It's a very real, serious thing, and it's now part of this human livestock condition. Has been for some time. It's just that within that spectrum of autism, you have, and that's their term, it's not our term. They're the ones that came up with the term autism to explain away all this, right? Because the last thing they want is people to make the connection that it's their allopathic treatments that are responsible for all the various gradations and stages of the spectrum, the autism spectrum disorder. What I'm talking about in particular are those within that spectrum that are quite violent, that are completely lacking in impulse control, that in their mind and in the way their neurology has been altered, irrevocably altered, because of the destruction of the cognitive function, the brain inflammation, the erosion of the impulse control network. What you begin to see in not all cases, but in many cases, you begin to see something similar to what you see with sexual offenders, where they confuse sexual gratification through one means or another with violence, because that's been one of the things that psychologists have gone bent over backwards to try to cover up, to try to explain away. Oh, these people, you know, these autistic adults now, right, or young adults or teens, they have the mind of an infant, so they don't understand that when they do things of a sexually aggressive nature, they're not really responsible for what they're doing. And yes, I understand that concept, I do, but there has to be accountability, there has to be responsibility. What is the root cause of all this anyway? Well, it's these allopathic treatments, of course, right? So the point of relevance is, and this falls right in line, it's an extreme example of the breed out the love programming, where because of these allopathic interventions, you have multiple generations now of people on the spectrum, the autistic spectrum disorder spectrum. And some of them on the far, far extreme ends of the spectrum, they're quite violent, they're quite hypersexualized. They indulge in things like rape and public masturbation, all kinds of things, right? And there's no impulse control net, a complete separation because of the massive brain inflammation. You already had the template, generations worth of separation from the heart center anyway. So that is an example of the breed out the love program, that once they're born into the world, the template already exists. The allopathic interventions take place. They wind up being on the spectrum, and in some cases at the extreme end of the spectrum, where they're quite violent, quite sexually aggressive. And it's all, you know, when these stories do come out, and there are many such stories, the psychologists explain it all away. They got a mind of a four-year-old. They don't really understand what they're doing. And that's all part of the shtick, too. Barbie Bartholik regressed a number of people, as you know, and she worked with some kids, some quite articulate kids, whose parents allowed them to be regressed. And I watched a videotape of some of these kids talking about their experiences out of regression. They're fully conscious when they're talking about this. And they describe how the aliens, in these mass abductions of children, you always hear these people say, oh, the aliens are interested in our emotions. They're interested in our feelings. Well, what do they mean by that, right? Because that's such a pat kind of cliche. Oh, they're interested in our emotions. They're interested in our feelings. Is that why they make us watch scenes of nuclear destruction? Is that why they make us watch scenes of wars and, you know, simulations of violent acts of, you know, of individuals and of armies? And there's a lot more to it than just saying, oh, they're interested in our feelings and interested in our emotions. To breed out the love program in extremis is designed to bring out these onerous, violent, rapacious attributes within people, beginning at childhood. And so one of these kids that were debriefed by Barbie, and if you watch the videos of that Barbie had put together with her, the people she worked with, the beauty of it is she always allowed the people to describe in their own words what they were feeling, what they were perceiving, what their assessment of the alien agenda and their and what it meant from a personal perspective, how they fit into the overall scheme of things from an alien perspective, what their role in it was, right? And some women will say, well, you know, I'm a breeder, they need me for my eggs. And then this kid that was interviewed, he said that what the aliens would do was they would engender rage within some kids, and then within other kids, they either engendered a fear response or they didn't do anything, but they just let the kid's natural fear response take over and allowed or goaded the violent rage-filled kid to bully and even beat up the passive scared kid, right? And the kid described also how some of the things done to him and what he observed with other kids was the aliens were doing things specifically to engender pain and fear and rage, hurting them intentionally, right? And it's time we got past this notion of experimentation. Oh, it's experimental gene therapy. There's nothing experimental about any of this. And a lot of this is all thought out. It's all been planned, engineered, scientifically laid out. And so what they're doing with what they have been doing with the Breed Out the Love program is whole generations of kids were being manipulated genetically, neurologically. Their endocrinary system is messed with. So from a glandular hormonal perspective, certain glands are stimulated or certain hormones released to bring about certain emotional neurological responses. It's not just like dopamine hits either. That's a very basic simplistic way of doing things, of thinking about it rather. It's doing things from a glandular hormonal perspective and a neurological perspective, precisely designed to engender a rage response, a violence response, conversely a fear, an anxiety response, all points in between. And then once they're born into the world, and this is intermittently happening to them by the aliens doing this to them, then they find themselves in the day-to-day world where the programming is such, the mass societal programming is such, where at the very least, if they don't get the anger, rage, foaming at the mouth response out of these kids, and increasingly that's what's happening in the schools through all the Marxist cultural, Marxist Luciferian programming, at the very least, what they have is hordes of kids that are apathetic, compliant, acquiescent, indifferent, narcissistic, self-indulgent, addicted to their digital devices. These kids were halfway to Borgville anyway. That's even before. And notice with the rollout, the emphasis has shifted to the kids. They keep wanting to wax the kids over and over and over. We're in the midst now of a tsunami wave of genocide on a planetary scale, and it's non-human in origin. This is what myself and my colleagues have been talking about all along, and finally the coin is starting to drop. A lot of these surface level researchers are starting to catch on to that there is a non-human intelligence behind all of this. So when you see these pathological liars, and I was talking about pathological liars earlier in this segment, and they're on TV and they're saying over and over and over, vaccinate, 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 it's the only solution, it's the only thing you can do, there's nothing else to do, and then the journo terrorists, as Mike Adams calls them, right? They've already been queued up to ask specific leading questions, making it seem like there's a controversy at work, making it seem like the government isn't doing enough, right? Well, it doesn't seem like these restrictions are harsh enough. because the rate of infection for the dreaded Delta variant is increasing exponentially. What are you, reptile politician, going to do about it? Are there going to be harsher restrictions, and when will they take place? When will the army get involved, right? So instead of journalists asking real questions like, what the hell is all this about, right? Really, what's really going on? No, these journalists are not just asking softball questions. They're asking leading questions designed to elicit a response which favors more harsh restrictions, more lockdowns, more limitations on what's left of our freedom. This is all archontic, draconian, Orion-inspired, Luciferian, demiurgic, archontic. There's nothing human about any of this. So we're back, getting back to that concept of the spectrum, okay? The spectrum that I talked about in the beginning. So your average everyday person, they fall into the spectrum where they're just apathetic, acquiescent, believe whatever they're told. They're just hammered constantly by the fear-mongering media and the fear-mongering politicians. So they're in this animalistic fear mode where they're more than happy to give away, that not even if they understand what freedom means, even in the abstract sense, but more than happy to relinquish whatever freedom they have left for an illusion of security. And they're too dumb to realize that the more they give up with the expectation that they'll get back, the more they will permanently lose, because there's no intention of giving back. There's no intention of easing the restrictions. There's no intention of bringing everything back to normal, whatever the hell normal was in the first place in this archontic, reptile, mantis-controlled world. And then when we're talking about the far end of the spectrum also, we have to remember that so many of these politicians, so many of these news presenters are not just compromised, they're evil, evil Luciferian sewer scum, where they just, in private, they just do the most heinous, atrocious, appalling things. And that's who is in front of you, screaming at you in these news conferences, in these media updates about the latest stage of this, you know, catastrophe in the making, right? And when we realize they'll go to that extent, hammer us from every conceivable direction to put us into fear mode, to the point where now, of course, it's been going on for some time, but really added sense of emphasis nowadays is, oh, it's the unwax. The unwax are responsible for all of this. The unwax is responsible for your restrictions. It's so easy to direct the rage and the angst of the cattle in a given direction, target at a given individual, target at a given demographic in society, in true Saul Alinsky-type fashion. Just direct the rage in a certain direction. Because I don't even like the term NPCs anymore, non-participating characters, because it doesn't describe these abnormies, these moo-moos, because they're a force multiplier for this wretched system. They're in such fear for their pathetic, meaningless lives that they'll be happy. They'll be cheerleading people hauled off to the camps, cheerleading people strapped down and have all these wicked, evil treatments meted out to them, to the dissenters, let's say. So how could they be regarded as non-participating characters when there are willing participants in all of this? These are the ones that are calling up the police when they see two or more people standing, you know, in an empty field. These are the ones that are calling up the cops when they see, you know, somebody visit like a relative in their neighborhood, right? So how could they be non-participating? And the fact that they are acquiescent many of them are acquiescent, docile, and obedient, that's a form of participation as well. So what we see is this ever-increasing downhill rolling snowball of fear, rage, and angst. But remember what my little tour guide showed me. The awesome, awesome power that resides within your heart center that can overwhelm all of this if focused, right? So the point of relevance is they'll go to all this trouble to get all of the livestock and all of the cattle mobilized, essentially, to lash out at the unwaxed, at the dissenters, at these non-social distancers, let's say. Get them all worked up into a frenzy. And because the news presenters, the politicians, are reptilian hybrids, entity-infested, pathologically lying sewer scum, and they just, through neuro-linguistic programming and repetition over and over and over, the only possible way to get out of this is to vaccinate, right? Stay home, obey. Like in the old days with the movie They Live, well, you know, one had to put on the glasses to see all the subliminals. Now it's just in your face, obey, stay home, obey, right? If you remember that scene, and it was probably the longest fight scene in movie history, John Carpenter's They Live, Roddy Piper was trying to force... What was the name of the black actor's name? Glenn David. It's a very typical sounding name, but good actor though. I've seen him in a number of movies. But anyway, Roddy Piper is trying to force the black guy to wear the glasses so he could see all the subliminals all around him and see that a lot of these people walking the streets weren't even human, right? And that fight scene lasted for like 12, 14 minutes, and it was a perfect metaphor. How many people today are still spinning the wheels trying to talk some sense into people? But you're trying to talk sense. They're trying, not you, the listeners, because you're my audience and you guys are really switched on. But I'm talking about those out there. And it's coming from a place of compassion, empathy, love. I understand that. But one has to, and this is just me talking, no one else has to believe this, but one has to pick and choose their battles carefully. So if they're going to be spinning their wheels, trying to undo a lifetime's worth of programming, and sometimes lifetimes, plural, right, of programming, of trauma-based programming, that's what it is, trauma-based programming, shame-based programming, headspace individuals with kind of cattle, livestock leanings, let's say, bovine leanings. I mean, you could pry their eyes open the way Mel Gibson's eyes were pried open in the conspiracy theory movie, right? When they're making him see the bright light and his psychologist controller. You could, you know, through voice to skull, just pump in all this information. I'm talking about making him see like a truth video or something. You know, Dr. David Martin and all these other people, all the information they've come up with, right? Sit them down, strap them in, pry their eyes open so they can't shut their eyes, use voice-to-skull technology to beam in the dialogue from these podcast interviews, shoot them up full of sodium pentothal, sodium amytal, so they, in a narco-hypnotic state, they're more likely to take it on board. You know what? None of that will work. You do all of that, and they still won't take on board any of this information. They can't. That's like trying to engage, like, you know, some other species that speaks an entirely different form of language, some lower order species with a lower level of intelligence. It's not going to work. All you're going to do is irritate them. I understand people coming from a heartfelt perspective when they try to reach out, but there comes a point of diminishing returns. So while we still have the time, let's cultivate, let's propagate, let's strengthen, let's modulate and beam out from our heart center that rose quartz colored beam of energy, 360 in every direction, spanning time and space, spanning all dimensions, which my little tour guide showed me, right? It's there. It's there within all of us. And I was a shame-based kid, still got a lot of shame-based issues to work out. And if that amount of power can come out of my heart center, imagine all these other people out there who are far more healed and well-adjusted and reintegrated than I am. Okay? That is how we will triumph in the end. But we have to be realistic about this. The casualty count, the body count, if you will, has only just started. The gaslighting is constant. They're constantly hitting us with all these lies about all these, and they like to rub it in our faces. A 92-year-old, Delta strain victim, right? So they hurl all these nonsensical lies at us, all designed to get us into our headspace, get us into a feverish state of fear, of anxiety. But it won't work on us. It'll work on the bovine masses. It is working on the bovine masses. It won't work on us. Because if you remember, you go back to those happy times in our youth, those times that are worth fighting for again, right? That's what will make us strong, is recognizing the power within us and not spinning our wheels on those that will be more than happy to cheerlead us to extinction. Like they're being stampeded over a cliff, they want to drag us with them. Ain't gonna happen. Because I believe our destiny is eventually to dismantle this matrix and eventually to return back to the stars from whence we came. We've been suffering planetary confinement for all this time, but our destiny is back in the stars. But the line has to be drawn somewhere. It does no good to just bail and say, okay, I'm out of here, if you can find a way to do it. But meanwhile, this real contagion, this demiurgic, archontic, Luciferian AI contagion, is just spreading in every dimension, contaminating every dimension. It has to be stopped somewhere, right? We got to look at this from a bigger strategic perspective. At some point, if this trend continues, right, Earth may be, and the solar system, perhaps even this galaxy, maybe just written off as, okay, well, we gave it our best shot, we tried to hold the line, we had to beat a strategic withdrawal, and then continue the fight from somewhere else. But no matter where we go, we always will have that electromagnetic dynamo within us. It's been measured, the electromagnetic energy emanating from the heart center. It varies from person to person. Generally, it extends, a few feet either side of an individual. And for some really well-integrated people, a lot of people that practice certain disciplines and techniques, take good care of their temple, i.e. their body, their electromagnetic energy field extending from their heart center can extend quite a distance. A buddy of mine was telling me that he'd spoken to somebody involved with satellite imagery. I can't remember if he said the guy was with NSA, NRO, CIA, one of those spook agencies involved with overhead satellite reconnaissance. But I've told the story before, but it bears repeating. They detected this heat source somewhere in the Himalayas, right, from overhead imagery, infrared sensors. So they located the source of it, clicked down, zoomed in, and then they imaged what was there. And what was there, when the analysts gathered around and looked at the image, what they saw was some kind of a yogi guy sitting in the center of a large circle of melted ice around him. And he was just sitting there emitting all this heat. He was apparently in meditation. But the heat that was emanating from him was such that it created, not only did it melt some of the snow around him in 360 degree direction, right, directions, so he sat essentially in the middle of a big circle of melted ice, almost like in a crater, but his heat signature was observed from outer space, okay, from an imagery satellite, right? And then we've seen videos of yogis. There's some guy in Indonesia where he was able to direct his chi to his solar plexus, and someone holds a piece of paper near his solar plexus, and the paper erupts into flame. And people touch his solar plexus, and they pull their hands away because, I mean, it's very hot, okay? So the point of relevance is we are electromagnetic beings, and our heart center is our dynamo. So no matter what they try to do to us, right, the breed out the love program, the incessant fear-mongering, the state of siege mentality they try to put us into, we are multidimensional. We are infinite. We are all powerful, right? Just remember the steadfastness, the endurance, the never-say-die attitude of those hobbits in the Lord of the Rings books and the movies, right? We're not quitters, and we shall overcome. So anyhow, I just wanted to put that message out about the Breed Out the Love program and the fact that we are essentially heart-centered beings, and through our heart center connected to the infinite cosmos, the multiverse. And it's a two-way thing. We can send out and we can draw in too. So anyhow, just wanted to put that out there, and for our members, I'll be getting on a member segment before too long. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. And if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.